Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. My guests, Helen, Lisa and Vicky, are real-life community builders who believe that communities are connected communities that make stronger, happier places to be, and that's why they just love any activity that brings people together. They don't just parachute in to teach you from a textbook, you know, they live it, they breathe it, and they love it. And they're here for a chat today, Helen, Lisa and Vicky. Welcome.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, before we get into the magic that you help to inspire, tell me something about yourselves. What did you all do before coming community builders, Helen?
Well, I've had a very varied employment history, doing lots of different things. But what's most important is I've worked in communities before under various different guises. I've worked for a homeless charity at probation. I was a physiotherapist in the community. And I've worked with adults with learning difficulties. But what I wish is, having come to ABCD, the asset-based community development way that we work, which is all based on strengths and what people have and can do, I wish I'd have come across it 20 years ago and been able to put it into my work then. But it is a really lovely way to work in communities, and we are all about sharing the love and telling everyone about it.
Lisa?
Well, that's one to follow on from, isn't it?
My background, not as extensive as Helen's, but obviously I have a background in communities and social housing before I came to the bright side of Forever Manchester, community involvement officer, tenant participation officer, and that's where I actually met Forever Manchester. I was working up on one of those estates, looking at a different way of working to get the community engaged in what we needed to do, and I met Helen. On the estate up in Alt, where we were doing a big piece of work, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then I was sent to Forever Manchester to learn the ways of ABCD, and then I got to stay.
Hooray!
Yay!
Brilliant. We'll talk about ABCD in a moment or three. Vicky?
So, I was a youth worker before starting this role, and before that I helped run and support a radio station for people from the learning disabled community. So I've sat on both sides of the fence applying for funding, but also this side of the fence where we're able to deliver asset-based community development as a community builder.
So, how do you work with the local community? How did community building come about? How?
Vicky, would you like to tell us a little bit about
community building? Oh, wow, the way you went into it then, thought like you were going to go straight into it. So asset-based community development is working on a strength-based process. So what's good, what's strong, not what's wrong. Suppose when you ask people the question, what you're good at, not a lot of people can actually answer it. Whereas if you ask people, what are you bad at, they can give you a list as long as your arm. So it's getting people to think about a different way of thinking. And I suppose the more positive things you find, the more positive things will find you.
It's all about finding the good stuff, connecting the good stuff and encouraging more good stuff, basically. And the best part of it is seeing those people who don't think they've got anything to offer to the community, to the even themselves, to turn that round and help them appreciate what they have, what strengths they have inside them, and how important they are to their community. And seeing them realise that and then put that into action with some funding and some support from us is like the absolute gold and just the gorgeousness of what we do.
Do you not think that they recognise that already?
I think for so long, when working in communities, it's almost as if people present yourself with an inventory sometimes of misery, because that's what they're used to so much talking about when they go to the doctors. They talk about their ailments, and we've become a community of complaining about things that need to be complained about, but it doesn't go beyond that sometimes, and it can just get stuck in that vicious cycle all the time, and it's about us breaking that cycle.
The thing to note about community building as well is we're not naive. We've all worked in communities before, and we all are fully aware that there are issues and needs and, you know, problems in the communities where we work, and But what we do is we don't start there. We don't go in and say, what's wrong? How can we fix it for you? We go in and say, what's right? And how can we encourage you and help you to build on that and develop more positives in your community? So it's about the individuals, but it's about the areas as well. And, you know, communities might be told for generations that they're crap, they're deprived, there's lots of crime, nobody works, there's all drug issues. And that's all they hear and they believe it.
You get the newspapers constantly putting out the top 20 worst places to live in the UK. Exactly. That's not a true representation of any community.
No, and what you've got is you've got some guy who'll roll up or somebody somewhere who doesn't even live in your area.
Absolutely.
Telling you that you live in a postcode that's deprived.
Exactly.
So you're being told you're deprived.
Exactly. If you live here, you're likely to have on the needs map, you're likely to be at a high rate of unemployment in the area. Mm. It's constant negative headlines and strap lines that are on a community.
You're probably going to die a lot sooner than your neighbours in the next postcode. You've got 10 years left, you know, and that sort of thing is like people, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And that tends to create a downer.
Apathy.
Absolutely.
Apathy.
And it means that people who live there don't feel like they have any resources or any ability to take action in their own community. They feel like they are so incapable of anything great or anything good that they are reliant on services to come in and do to them and fix them when they don't need fixing and they've got everything they need right on the doorstep. And that's where we come in, you know, and we're here to say, do you know what, where you live there's loads of great stuff. Look at all the and not only that, look at the potential.
Where do you begin to start finding and monitoring all the good stuff that's going on in the community if it's a world of doom and gloom like you've already painted?
Well, once we've chosen an area, which can be quite a complicated process, we then start by building a map.
Yeah, we start mapping the good stuff. So we start looking at the assets of the area, the community groups, the places where community groups can take place, parks, churches, schools, basically the structure of a community. And we map it and connect people.
We're mooching around a community for quite around a community for quite some time before we even necessarily announce that we're there.
Yeah.
So we get that understanding, stripping away the statistics, the strap lines we spoke about. We go and walk amongst that community. We sit and observe the community, where people congregate naturally, what centres are being used, what's in those centres. I mean, you can, you know, take a church, for example, on paper, it's a church where people go and congregate around a common faith. But in reality, there'll be umpteen notices on a notice board there advertising all the different activities that are going on there. Mm. Not necessarily those that are you can find on the internet, or it's just a group of people that have got together around a common interest that isn't faith-based, but they're able to use that facility there.
I think as well, like, it's not what you asked, but I just feel like I want to say it at some point. We all know, because of the pandemic especially, how important it is to come together as a species, even if you want to say that. We're not made to be on our own. And I think it's about bringing people together. It's about connection. And we try and build those connections based on positives, as opposed to, you know, all the old people come together because you're old. No, come together because you're all interested in the same thing, or you share a passion, or you want to enjoy something together. And what we do is, it's not just any particular demographic, it's everyone. We want everybody to come together. All the evidence suggests, you know, if you want to be academic about it, that you live longer, your mental health is improved, your physical health is improved, you feel better. And we just see that every day, and it makes our job so much easier.
Do you ever get maybe misunderstood? Do you ever get sort of looked at as if you're an agency or an interfering... an interfering service that's come to tell you how to better live your life because you're labelled?
Do you know, I think the way that we approach communities means that we're able to take that time and build up that relationship slowly and not throw ourselves on a community. That's so important in the way that Definitely. We approach any communities with respect, but also making sure we've got enough understanding behind us. So occasionally we might get that, but I think because we take our time and we do it slowly and respectfully, and it's about the community, you know. We just want them to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what our remit is there to do, is to bring that connectivity and that happiness. And I think once we're able to sort of get that out there, people generally are on board with it. It's something different.
Asset mapping gathers information on what's there. things like clubs and groups and open spaces and what's out there and already available, etc. I guess you're simultaneously meeting and chatting to people and finding out what their interests are or what interests them. Or perhaps these meetings and conversations can help to identify things that might be missing from the mix, maybe sometimes, that could be developed for a community to benefit from. Would you say that's a pretty good overview of it, really?
Do you want to be a community builder?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've hit it in the nutshell. I don't know, that's not right either.
You've hit it in the nutshell, though.
You've hit it in the nutshell. Hit the nail on the head. Thank you. This is a right good interview. So, I'm just touching on what Lisa said as well. It links to what you said, is it is about taking that time and building trust.
Yeah.
And like when we first started, so we would do our map, brilliant. That has evolved in the technology that we use and how we do it. But how we go out and approach people has changed massively. You know, we would have lanyards, we would have clipboards, we would have a set of questions, like a questionnaire, and that has all gone. So going out and meeting those people, we are building ourselves as part of that community from day one. We're not there to...
That's one of the things that I've always said, to actually understand, and I don't want to use this word, but to actually understand the needs of the community, you actually have to become a part of the community. And then you can really understand it. I suppose that's where the first year of community building comes into play, of relationship building.
Definitely, Vic.
I was reading some blurb about you.
Oh, which one?
What are bumping spaces?
Oh, bumping spaces are areas that we observe when we're taking that time at the start of going into community. It's areas that we observe where people gather naturally. They can be outside school gates, it can be at a bus stop, at a certain cafe in the community, at the doctor's. It's taking that time and going, okay, well, around 3 o'clock on this day, there's quite a large portion of the community that are sort of congregating, and we will then, what we call, pop up in that bumping space, where we'll go with our lovely van and ourselves without clipboards,
our lanyards,
we'll start chatting and having conversations with the community, not saying give us all this information, we ask you all these questions, starting those conversations. That's what we do in bumping spaces.
We make it fun as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta make it fun.
And you make friends with people.
Yeah.
Loads of friendships. I also believe you're happy to play games as part of your community building activities. Tell me about these, the weekend game.
In a nutshell, 100 skills, how many of the community got between them. We ask them to guess, they give us a percentage. Generally, it's quite low. Yeah. Surprisingly.
It's always low.
So that's about identifying skills and talents, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's more about showing the community what they've got. It's a great place to start when we're doing work in communities. You know, it's getting them to go, hang on a minute, we've got 99% of all these skills you're telling us. And that blows people's minds. And it also, we get those people sat around the table who go, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that.
And silence falls across the room. And their own neighbours will look at them and say, you can do that.
Yeah.
Again, it just shows that those questions aren't being asked in the communities.
And I think when it comes to needs in community as well, we're there to identify where there's a lack of connection as opposed to need. So we might, through the weekend game, for example, we might meet people around a table and go, you can do knitting. Oh, I really want to learn knitting. And then we might meet three other people who feel the same way. The gap and the need there is just the need for connection. So we would then put those people in touch with each other, maybe let's go for a coffee or a brew or do something fun, and then if they want to crack on and get a group started, we're there to support them. So where they're, the needs that we identify are,
it's like community matchmaking.
It is
Scylla.
All Scylla lives on
in community matchmaking.
Then we've got heads, hearts and hands.
Tell us things that you can talk passionately about, things that you can physically do with your hands, things that you're knowledgeable about. And we can draw them out of people and start making connections with them. So we kind of get everybody to think about three options each. And then before you know it, there are about 10 or 15 groups that can be made from just drawing that information out of people.
It's digging into that person and just, even with, we do heads, hearts, hands, not only in the community, but we also deliver workshops to other services as well. And it's always the same. People will sit there, won't they, just for a minute going, what can I do? What can I do with my hands? Can I do anything with my hands? And then within no time at all, it's like, oh yeah, well, I can do this. I like to bake this. I like to make this. I can do that. So then it just builds up that picture with just some gentle encouragement. But then once they've got a couple, it's amazing. They'll come out with about 15 or 16 different things they can do.
It's like a positive snowball effect, isn't it?
It's mad though, isn't it? It's like in your day-to-day life, especially if you're living in one of these areas where you're labelled deprived and no good, let's be honest, who would ever ask you what you're good at, what you care about, what do you love doing in your spare time? Probably no one, because they're so busy surviving and maybe, like you say, going to the doctors and telling them what's wrong, maybe the housing officer telling them what needs repairing or making complaints about issues in the area. Nobody probably never asks them, what are you good at, what do you like doing? And that's why it's become such a shock to people when they start to go, oh yeah, I can do X, Y, Z. And we say, yes, and that's valuable. That's important. It's needed.
It's huge.
You are needed, you know, and that to me is just magic.
I believe you're the first real-life community builders in the UK. You're out there, you're fact-finding, you're mapping assets, you're engaging people, and you're influencing and inspiring happier and more positive local communities. Now, you've all between you got vast amounts of real-life experiences. You live it, you breathe it, and I suppose that this more than qualifies you to teach it. So I assume that being taught and influenced by the real deal is much better than training with a textbook teacher and a tired PowerPoint presentation.
We like to think so. Yeah, one of the things we like to do is share our knowledge, because we believe, you can probably tell, that we're all very passionate about what we do, and we believe in it, we see the impact of it. So we want to share that with other people who work in areas similar to us. So we have a portfolio of training options.
A portfolio?
Yeah, portfolio. Ooh. I know. So we have online e-learning courses that people can purchase from us that they can just do in their own time. Because of the pandemic, we were sort of forced to move our face-to-face training online, but that's great because that means we can deliver training virtually but interactively with groups online, and we also can come to you and deliver workshops face-to-face. And what we have that we think is unique is people who have lived experience here now today of working in communities, and it's real. And we've got the, you know, this might be a bit difficult, here's how to overcome it, here's some ideas of how you might want to do it in, you know, interpret it in your, into your role.
We've got those ongoing real life examples.
Exactly.
We will all go into a training room one day, but the next day we'll be back out in the communities that we're working in.
Yeah.
So we're constantly learning and evolving, and we can constantly shape it as well. But that's the big thing, we've got those real life examples that people can relate to, and they're real.
Yeah.
They're right there where people can see them. So that's definitely a benefit to what we deliver.
Real life experiences in real world environments. That should be it. I've just invented a tagline for you. Listen, if anyone out there is interested in learning all about taking the ABCD approach to community building from the best community building team in the UK, I gather that's you guys, how could they go about it?
They can drop me an email at helen@forevermanchester.com.
helen@forevermanchester.com.
It's a lot easier to spell than the Vicky I choose, isn't it?
And they can make an inquiry to you and you get in touch with them.
That's absolutely right. And we can have a conversation and we can create a training package that suits their needs.
Got to go around the table before we say to her, have you got any standby moments or memories that spring to mind?
You know, there is so many. We have positive experiences every single day in our role. You know, we've just been out in communities the past 2 days.
We have.
Van. Incidentally, if you see myself, Vicky or Helen out in the Forever Manchester van, give us a wave, give us a bib, or come and give us a hug and ask us about what we're doing as well, because we're always out there in the communities. But I think the stories that stick out the most are those individuals that we've been on a real journey with right from the very start, when we've met them individually in communities, and then where we look at them today. And we see what they're doing, and we see that it's almost like a different person sometimes. It's the same person, they just needed that bringing out of them. And when we get to see them, whether it's on Facebook or another achievement that we've had, we just know that we're doing the right thing. And those stories you can find on our website as well.
Brilliant.
Suppose in a way it's just really nice to watch their growth. Their journey really captures their growth, and it's growth through connections.
So it's about empowering, engaging and inspiring people, and as a result, great things happen. Helen, Lisa, Vicky, thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Thank you.
Can
thank
I wish you.
Thank you.
Everything and everything you do, and everyone that you inspire, every success, and much continued success.
Oh,
for the
great pod! Yay!
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.